I want to start with a magic trick. I'm going to show you something here that's impossible to exist. And I'm going to show you that it actually exists. Here it is. I've got three triangles. Two of them I'm going to pass around. You can pass them around and see that they're real triangles. Third one's exactly the same. It's just a triangle. I'm going to open it up, which I have no idea how to do. Let's see what's inside the triangle. We can thank Matthew Sulzberger and Rabbi Kunstler for finding these triangles. Wow. It's very hard to open up these triangles. Ah, here we go. Ah, open up the triangle. Inside the triangle. Oh, whoa. Whoops. It's okay. Nobody saw. Oh! Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in the triangle. Now, this cannot exist because anybody who cared enough to show up to the shiur to get this sheet never would have made it into a triangle. And anybody who would take this sheet and make it into a triangle never would have taken it in the first place. So those triangles that I passed around cannot exist. Magic. There it is. Thank you. Now, Rabbi David is wondering, I'm Sephardi. The Rambam holds that Achiza Seinayim is Osir. You can't do magic tricks. Yeah, the magic tricks. It's Osir. The Rambam is very machmir on magic tricks. So some of the posts can point out that if you do a magic trick and you show the people how it's done, so then it's mutter. So I'm going to show you how that came to be. How could it be that you have the person who comes to the shiur, gets the sheet, and makes a triangle? It would be Zion HaTorah. They take them. It says, we take these sheets. You can't just throw them in the trash. You have to treat them with respect. There's a Shemus, there's Gniza. You put them in a special box or an entrance to base medrash. And you made it into a triangle. I have no idea who made it into a triangle, but you probably feel a little uncomfortable. My bad. Sorry. How could that happen? It's not only the triangles. There's triangles, lamineihem, all over the place. We see them all the time. How could that be? So we have to start, as I want to do, with la'la'at. The Ruach Chaim in Pirkei Avos says the following thing. It's impossible to get to Lishma unless you start Shalol Lishma. Lo Lishma is a necessary step along the way of the process. And he says a mashal or Chaim Volozhin to a king who tells his Eved, I want you to go up to the attic, clean it up. Could you imagine a situation where the Eved starts walking up the steps towards the attic and the king starts yelling at him, what are you doing? I told you to go to the attic, not to the steps. Jump to the attic. Of course not. That's ridiculous. He doesn't expect his Eved to jump to the attic. Nobody can jump to the attic. If you jump to the attic, you fall and get hurt. You have to go up to the attic step by step. Lot, lot. One step at a time. This is the mukkur for lot, lot. One step at a time. One step at a time means, like Chazal tells, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin says here, La'olam yasuk adam b'tor v'mitzvah shalol lishma, shemitoch shalol lishma ba lishma. We have to do things shalol lishma in order that we can get to lishma. So what does it mean to do things shalol lishma? So in our yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of shalol lishma. I hold of it, 100%. Don't think wrong about this for a second. Chanukah challenge, Shnai Mikra, Shnai Max, Shraga Workout will be rolled out, I'm sure, at some point in the near future. We've got those are the good Shalol Lishmas. And we have the other Shalol Lishmas. You know, if you don't come to Shacharis, then you can't go out that night. If you don't come for 2 days, then this and the other thing. Shalol Lishma! It pushes us to do the right thing. You talk Shalol Lishma, Baal Lishma. But I have a kasha, because there's Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos the following thing. Listen carefully. Reb Tzadok Omer, Reb Tzadok says, Al tasem atara lihisgadol bahem, velo kardum lachpur bahem. Don't take the Ivrei Torah and make it into a crown to adorn yourself with. Don't use it as a shovel to dig. Don't use Divrei Torah for your own hana'ah. V'kachaya Hillel Omer, d'yishtamish betag ha'chalif, ha'lamata ko ha'nehen en b'divrei Torah, notel chayav min ha'olam. Ooh, that is very harif. If you take the Torah and you use it to further your own personal interests, I like all you can eat meat, so I learn a lot of Torah, so I can go to Papagayos. I like going out at night, so I soak the chakras, so I'm allowed to go out to dinner that night. If that's what you're doing, that's a terrible thing, sounds like, from the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah Pirkei Avos? Kardum lach parbehem, atarlis gadol bahem, on the one hand. On the other hand, la'olam yasakotim b'torah v'mitzvah, shelo lishma, la'olam, it must be done. So how do we reconcile? So I'm going to share with you a beautiful idea that I saw in the Sefer Mayan Beis HaShoeva, from Rav Shimon Schwab, in Parshas Bechukosai. In Parshas Bechukosai, there's this fantastic pasuk that makes no sense. Totally out of place. You know what I mean when I say that, obviously. The pasuk says like this, very beginning of the parsha. In Bechukosai teilechu, ves mitzvosai tishmeru, vasisam osam. If you follow my ways, Hashem says, you keep the mitzvahs, so what's going to happen to you? Brachas! V'nasati gishmeichem b'yitzam, v'nas nahar tzivula, v'eitz asadeh yiten priyo, v'sig lechem daish es basir, etc. Brachas and brachas. That starts in Pasuk Gimel. Brachas all the way through Pasuk Yud Aleph. And then we hit just brachas over and over again. Pasuk Yud Aleph says the following thing. V'nasati mishkani b'sochechem. Hashem says, I'm going to build my mishkan amongst you. V'lo sigal nafshi eschem. And then I won't find you to be repulsive. That's a very strange thing. The Lashon of Rashi there, Ein ruchi katzavachem. I will not find you to be repulsive. And the Ramban already asks right there, that's a very strange thing to be found in the middle of all these brachas. One bracha and another bracha and another bracha. And Hashem says, Lo sigal nafshi eschem. And on top of it all, you won't be disgusting. Very odd. So Shimon Schwab says a beautiful pshat. A mashal amad over doma. First of all, he says, talking about somebody who does mitzvos and learns Torah, shelo lishma. And he needs this pasuk. When you do shelo lishma, he needs a pasuk v'lo sigal nafshi eschem. Mashal amad over doma. I'll explain. Let's say you have a person, a boy, he sees a girl, and her father is very, very wealthy. So he says to her, excuse me, Miss Rich. pun intended. You know, your father is very, very rich. So perhaps we can go out on a date, and then we might get married, and your father will give me lots of money, and I'll also be rich. And I've also noticed that in the social circles, your standing in the social circles is much higher than my standing. And if I marry you, I'll be invited to a lot more places than I'm invited to now. True, I don't really like you. But eventually I'll like you. I'll probably like you eventually. We'll get married. A few years go down. We'll probably get along. I like you. Shidduch. Of course it's not a shidduch. She'll slap him across the face. If she's not from. If she's from. Says she'll leave. What kind of thing is that? It's disgusting. He's disgusting. He's a disgusting person. But says Rav Shimon Schwab, when we do mitzvos and learn Torah shelo lishma, that's what we're doing. He's like, Hashem, I'm not really interested in you, but I like papagayos, and I like going out, and I like max cakes, and I like all these other things, and great! I'll do these things for the cake! It's disgusting! It's disgusting! And for that we need a pasuk, says Rav Shimon Schwab. Hashem says to us, even though right now you're doing shelo lishma, don't think that I'm going to be disgusted. Lo sigal nafshi eschem. No, it's not disgusting. Mitoch shelo lishma balishma. That's the la'olam yasok. Real Chaim says la'olam. It must be this way. You can only get to where you're trying to get to if you start shelo lishma mitoch shelo lishma balishma. So it's not lo sigal nafshi eschem. But there's one condition. There's one condition. You have to be trying to go somewhere. You have to be trying to get somewhere. If a person says that the king sends his eved to the attic, so the eved goes to the steps. You know, have the steps. You know, they go. You go up one direction, and then you turn around. You go up the other direction. You turn around. You go up the other direction. That's how steps go. So you put on a blindfold, right? You don't look where you're going, and you just go. You get the steps. Start up, 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 up. You hit that landing. You're still trying to go up. You're at the steps. Then you like trip a little bit. You're like, oh, it must be the steps ended. So then you start trying to work it straight. Boom, 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 boom. You start hitting the wall in front of you. You can't get anywhere if you're not looking ahead. Where am I going? If my shelo lishma is just shelo lishma, so I'm never going to get anywhere. My shelo lishma has to be, because these are external motivations, which are critical, imperative, indispensable, shall we say. We need these shelo lishmas. They must happen. But the only way that they work is if I have in mind, eventually it's going to get to lishma. Eventually it's coming to lishma. That's my goal. I'm using these things as a tool to motivate myself. But I'm trying to get somewhere else. I'm not trying to be stuck here for the rest of my life. I don't want to be doing Shnayim Mikra in 20 years because I'm coming back to Torah Shraga in January with my kid and I'm going to grab my Rabowski with all the notes. That'd be pathetic. No. I'm trying to get to lishma. I'm trying to get past where I am now. And lishma means different things for different people. Each person, lefi madrigaso. What's my lishma? But I'm trying to get beyond where I am now. And if it's not with the end goal in mind, if I'm doing the shelo lishma and I'm not trying to get to that lishma, so then it's kardun lachbar bahem. It's a tarah liskadal bahem. That's very bad. If this is the end goal for me, if I don't see anything down the line, I'm missing the main point. And that's where these came from. If you're doing this, it means you showed up. You showed up because I have to show up. Show up, check. Okay. Trying. I showed up. Did what I had to do. That's the nafkamina between person who has the end goal in mind and one who doesn't. They could be both doing the same thing on the outside, lichora. If you're not trying to get somewhere, so then your attitude is, okay, check. Now I can make a triangle. I'll tell you a story, true story. Mechila from the Rebbein in the room, for what I'm about to say. A guy comes to me in afternoon seder this year. This happened. And he drops the F-bomb. The F-bomb. Hashem, not everybody understands. That happened. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe my ears. He's talking to me. He's not talking to this. He's talking to me. What? He says to me, Rebbe, I'm finished. Finished. I finished the Gemara. I'm going out to dinner. I said, but it's only 5:25. Seder ends at 6 o'clock. I'm finished. Finished? I'm not finished yet. How can you be finished? What do you mean you're finished? What does it mean you're finished? Finished means check. I was here. Rabbi said to go from here to the Gemara. Oh, check. I'm done. Check. I'm finished. Check. I could leave. Check. Out. I'm gone. That's a person who doesn't have the end goal in mind. I'm here for the check. I'm here because Rabbi expects me to get through the Amud. Got through the Amud. Check. I'm leaving. What? There's no end goal. Where am I trying to get to? I hope I didn't scare you. It looks like he's terrified. He thought I was going to say something else. All right. So what's the proper mindset? Where am I trying to go? The Rambam says, in Hilchos Teshuva, Ha'ovid me'ahava, which is a high madrega. I'm not advocating we all start only trying to be ovid me'ahava, but there's a very important yesod here. Ha'ovid me'ahava, osik b'torah v'mitzvahs v'holich b'nesivas ha'chachma. He involves himself in Torah mitzvahs. He walks in the paths of wisdom. Lo mipnei davar ba'olam, not because he wants to get something out of it. V'lo mipnei yiras ha'ra'a, not because he's scared he's going to get punished. V'lo kidei lirash ha'tova, not to inherit reward. Ella. Osei ha'emes mipnei shehu emes, the Rambam says. Osei ha'emes mipnei shehu emes. So there's two things happening here, Rabosai. On the outside, I can use all the shelo lishmas. All the external motivations, they're good, they're fantastic. Papagayos and Shnai Mikra and Shraga workout and getting punished for not coming to Shacharis, fantastic. But in the end of the day, I should realize these are just tools that I'm using to get me to a place of, this is MS. And I'm doing this because I know that it's right. Oseya MS Mipneshu MS. I'm doing what's true because this is true. This is real and right. And that's why I'm doing it. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Im ein ani li mili. If I am not for me, who is for me? So Rabbeinu Yonah says there, a beautiful pshat. Im ein ani li mili, what does that mean? It means, if I can't motivate myself, so nobody else can motivate me. If I can't inspire myself, nobody else can inspire me. Because there's external forces that are pushing me to do things, that are motivating me and inspiring me to do things. And those external forces are always temporary. There's not going to be any time in your life where you're always going to have somebody standing next to you telling you, you must do this and you must not do that. There has to be a point in life where you build it inside. That I know that this is real, that I know that this is MS and this is right, and that's why I'm doing it. I'm Oseya MS Mipneshu MS. If I can't do that for myself, so there's nobody who can really do that for me. Everything else is just tools to get me to a place where I can do that on my own. That's all we're here for. That's what the Mishnah says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. The ha'amidu talmidim harbe. What's a Rebbe's job? Ha'amidu talmidim harbe. It doesn't say the lindu talmidim harbe. It doesn't say in the Mishnah you have to teach many talmidim. Ha'amidu. You have to stand them up. Stand them up that they can stand on their own. They can stand by themselves. That they have inside. Ani li. I can motivate. I can inspire. I'm osei ha'emes mitneshu emes. What's the nafkamina in our terms of our behavior? How do we get there? So the Ramah says, everybody knows this Ramah, but it's kedai to chazer it over and over. The first Ramah on Shulchan Aruch. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid. I place Hashem in front of me at all times. Hu klal gadol b'toru v'maylus ha-tzadikim. Asher holchim lifnei ha-elokim. A tzaddik is a person who walks with Hashem right in front of him all the time. Ki ein yeshivas ha'ada, yeshivas ha'adam utnu osav ve'asaka v'ulevado v'beso, ki yeshivaso utnu osav ve'asaka v'ulifnei melech gadol. A person doesn't behave the same way when he's sitting at home alone as he does when he's sitting in front of a great king. And he doesn't speak the same way to his family as he does if he's speaking in front of a great king. So says the Ramah, one nafkamina is, if I'm being Oseya Emes Nishu Emes, what do I do when I'm all alone? What do I do when nobody's looking? What do I do in my free time? And most of us are not holding by this. I'm not talking to students of Yeshivas Tarshah. I'm talking to myself also, no less. What do we do when you're all alone? What do you do when nobody's looking? So you say, Rabbi, I'm not Oseh Emes Mishu Emes. I'm not holding by Lishma. I'm still in Shalom Lishma. Mitoch Shalom Lishma Ba Lishma. Yeah, Nachinami. So how do you get to the Lishma? So the Sefer Achinuch says, beautiful Sefer Achinuch. You know this also. Sefer Achinuch says, a concept, Achrei Pulos Nimshachem Alavavos. When a person behaves a certain way, so it helps him feel that way. Says the Sefer Achinuch. Im Ya'are Rucho V'yasem Yishtadluso V'isko Ba'asmada B'tor V'mitzvos. A person who puts his efforts into something, vafilu shalol l'shem shamayim, even when he's putting his efforts into these things, shalol l'shem shamayim, and this is a crazy word here, miyad yinata elatov. Miyad! Immediately, it has an effect. A person's all alone in his house, all by himself, nobody's looking. And he's thinking to himself, oh, what should I do now? I can do whatever I want, nobody's here. What am I going to do? If you make a decision to do something good, you say, and I'm not talking here, it's not just about bad things at all. I'm talking about good or neutral. Good or not doing good. You're sitting here all by yourself. Right? It's a Friday in the dorms, nobody's around. It's a Shabbos in the dorms, nobody's around. Nobody's here. Nobody's making you do anything. So you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to take a nap. Before I take a nap, nobody's going to see me. Nobody's going to know. I pick up a sefer, right? Igeret HaRamban, the English one, very easy. I can relax. I open up a sefer, and I'm going to read for 5 minutes, and I go to sleep. I took a moment that was totally alone. Totally, I could do whatever I want. Nobody would know. It doesn't make any difference for anybody else in the world. And I was mekadesh the moment. I made it a real moment. I made it part of my avodas Hashem. So I'm one step closer to doing the emes mitneshu emes. I'm one step closer to doing things for the right reasons, because now I'm acting on my own. I'm lighting the fire. I'm lighting the fire. I'm being ma'amid myself that I can stand on my own. There's no external influences acting on me right now. Good. Why don't we do it? How come so often we don't do it? And this I think, is such an important yesod that the whole shmooze could have been about this topic, but they showed me the triangles, so I had to start with the other topic. Start with the question from last week's parsha, right? The makos, 10 makos in Mitzrayim. Hashem tells Moshe before he goes, there's going to be makos. Paro's not going to listen. He's going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden his heart. I want to do miracles that everybody should see that I'm in charge. So there's 5 makos where Paro hardens his own heart. And then there's the next 5 makos where Hashem hardens Paro's heart. So Jacob Silver Shlita showed me that Lavi Greenspan Shlita got him a sefer, Sichos Rav Nassim Tzvi. So we went through a piece of Sichos Rav Nassim Tzvi together. Beautiful sefer. Not that he needs my, but it was just geschmack, beautiful thing. Ru'uyim advarim Misha Amram, as we'll see in a second. Rav Nassim Tzvi asked the Kashi, said the first 5 makos, they didn't break Paro. The 6th makah broke him. After the 6th makah shrin, Paro's ready to send everybody out. And Hashem has to intercede and say, no, he's hardening his heart, they're not going anywhere. What happened in shrin that broke Paro? What was different about shrin and the first 5 makos? That the first 5 makos, Paro's saying, no, I harden my own heart, they're not leaving. Shrin had such an effect on him, he's ready to let them out. It broke him. And then Hashem has to intervene and harden his heart. What was different about shrin? So Rav Nassim Tzvi says a beautiful idea. If you look in the Pasuk, says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Pasuk says that he took in his hand piach kivshan, the ashes of a furnace, uzerako Moshe Hashamayma le'enei Paro. And Moshe Rabbeinu threw it up to Shamayim in front of Paro's eyes. And Rashi says, harei nisim harbe. Many miracles occurred in this act of throwing up the kivshan, the piach kivshan. Echad, number one, shehechtik kumtzol shel Moshe meloch ofnayim shelov shel Aaron. Moshe's one hand held 2 fistfuls of his own and 2 fistfuls of Aaron's ashes. Ve'echad shehalach ha'avak al kol eretz Mitzrayim. Number two, that the dust, the ashes spread out over all Mitzrayim. Says Rav Nassim Tzvi, quotes the Sifsei Chachamim, medayik, that the fact that Moshe took this ashes, if you think of what it would look like, scoop up a clump of ashes and throw it as hard as you can up to Shemayim. What's going to happen? Just the whole thing will be like a cloud and you'll start coughing and sneezing. You can't get it up there. And Moshe Rabbeinu manages to throw the Piach Kivshan up to Shemayim, and Rashi doesn't count that on the list of miracles. That was not a miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu, from his own kochos, was able to throw up this piach kivshan up to Shemayim. And says Rav Nassim Tzvi, how did that work? How could that be? So he develops a concept which he calls yichud halev. When a person is totally, entirely dedicated and devoted to something, so there's nothing they can't do. He accesses inside of himself kochos and abilities, potentials that he never imagined he had. And Moshe Rabbeinu was so singularly devoted to the mission that Hashem had given him, he was able to take the piach kivshan and do something that seems supernatural, but do it with his natural abilities. That's what he was able to do. And Paro saw that, and that's what broke him. Paro saw that, and he says, if the Jewish people can achieve such things naturally, so I don't stand a chance. And it broke him. He was ready to let them out. That's what Rav Nassim Tzvi says. Oh. And we don't think we can do that. We think, osim ha'emes b'neshu emes, how successful can I be? I can be a Talmud Chacham. I can be a tzaddik. We think it's not shaykh. I can be a guy who sits on my phone. I can be a guy, maybe I could be a doctor, maybe I could be a banker, maybe I could be a investment banker, this thing, that thing. A tzaddik I can't be. A Talmud Chacham I can't be. I can't, it's too hard. It's so demanding. Chas v'shalom. You can be. We don't think that we can, and so we don't even try sometimes. We don't even, when we talk Shalom Lishma, and we never have our eyes on the prize, we're not looking down the road, we're not trying to get to Lishma, because, and there's many reasons, this is just one angle. I'm not saying it's the only reason, there's many different things, but I'm focusing on one angle. We don't do it because we think that we can't. We think that we can't. Sheker v'chazav. I'll read you a story, briefly. I'm going to finish on time. I'll read you a story here from the Stipler. Stipler is a Sefer Chayei Olam. And he tells a story about a boy who came to the Chassam Sofer, 16 or 17 years old, and he never learned before in his life. And he comes to the Chassam Sofer and says, I want to learn Torah. And the Chassam Sofer says, okay, come to Yeshiva, I'll set you up the kibbutzes, and you'll learn. So he writes that the other guys in Yeshiva were like laughing at this kid, and making fun of him. 16, 17 years old, he never learned before, and now you're coming to Beis Medrash, you want to learn with us? We've been learning since we were babies. So the first thing we said was Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe. You can't hang with us. Chassam Sofer said, don't listen to them. I'm going to set you up. You do everything you can. So says the Stipler, he's quoting here from a biography of the Chassam Sofer. And besides the fact that the kid starts at age 17, it was another piece to his puzzle. He has a very difficult time understanding. He could sit there for an hour and 2 hours and 3 hours breaking his head over the Gemara, over the Rashi, over the Tosos, until he finally gets it. And then, next thing you know, he forgot. Achim lamdu imo eza mishnah mea pelmim. To the point where if they would learn, somebody would learn with him a mishnah 100 times, ad mehera shachacha. He forgets, just like that. Ulamachar haisa be'enav kilu lalamdak me'olam. And the next day, it's like he never learned it. That's where he's holding this boy. Weak. There's probably nobody in this room who's... The weakness, the way we just described. You learn a mishnah 100 times, and the next day it's like you never learned it. Not a single person in this room. Weak, late, no chance, hopeless. That's what you would think. Omnam. However, this boy had a cheshek for Torah. The hismid belimur. He had a desire. He was a masmid. He sat and he learned. And when a person takes those steps, Hashem helps him. And eventually he reached the madrega of a bachur muflag b'torah. You're also tahora, you're a shamayim, all of Yitzlech became phenomenally successful, and he goes on to list the cities that he ended up becoming a rav in, Av Bezdin over here, Av Bezdin over there. He became one of the Gedolei Ador. Somebody once told me that maybe they know who he is. I'm not going to say the name, but it's a name that anybody who's in yeshiva has heard the name. Everybody heard this name. It's a classic achron in Talmudic literature. A boy who is weak, is now a household name. Because he knew that he could do it. Deep down, if you know that you can do it, it's pashut that you can do it. That's what broke Paro. There we are. I just want to end off with a muscle that I heard. Rav Nosson Tzvi brings it down in that sikha also. I heard it from Rav Nissen Kaplan for the first time. I'll end with this. Once upon a time there was a king, and there's different gersos of the mashal. The king had a daughter, and he's trying to find a boy, a man worthy of marrying the king's daughter. So he puts out a letter to all of his citizens in his kingdom, and he says, on such and such date, everybody is invited. All men between ages, 20 and 25 are invited to come to the king's castle. We're going to hold a contest. Who's going to be worthy of marrying the king's daughter? So, thousands of people show up on that fateful day. And the king has this massive, massive palace. It's 100 stories tall. And the king says, I'm giving you 3 hours. Whoever gets to the top of the top floor of the palace in 3 hours can have my daughter's hand in marriage. Okay. So everybody on your market is like, go, boom. Shoots the gun. People start running. Running. An hour goes by. They're at level 15. These are big steps. It's a palace. Level 15, an hour goes by. You got 2,000 people there. 1 hour, 15 floors, 2 more hours, 85 floors to go. AP Calc, not going to work. So, three quarters of the people drop out. You have 500 people left. Like, no, we're going to keep going. There must be some way to get there. Running. Another hour. Okay, they're at floor 30. Maintaining the same pace. They're floor 30. 70 floors to go, 1 more hour left. So they see this. Another 3/4 of the people drop out. Okay, 3/4 of 500, AP Calc, whatever it is. And, okay, they run. They're like, okay, you have this last group. They're running. Another half hour goes by. They were at floor 30, half hour, but now they're only on floor 35 because they're tired. They've been running already for an hour. So they're at floor 35, and there's a half hour left, and there's 65 floors left. And like most of the people are just like, okay, this is impossible. We're out. 5 guys are still there. Half hour left. They're like, okay, we're going. They go. Another 10 minutes. They get 2 more floors. They're at floor 37. 20 minutes left. 63 floors left. 5 guys look at each other. 3 of them are like, this is impossible. The last 2 are like, no, we're keep going. They go. They're walking now. They're basically crawling up the steps. They get up another floor. There's 5 minutes left. There's 62 floors left. One of the guys is like, I just can't do this anymore. I'm done. But the last guy is like, I'm the last guy. I'm just going to, I'll do it again. I'm going to push it, the last push. So he pushes the last push. In 4 minutes, he makes it up to the next flight. He's on floor 38. And he's climbing up the steps, floor 38, right over like the last step. He sees, there's an elevator. It's open, waiting for him. He runs right into the elevator. He presses 100. It's one of those king elevators. Whoop! In 2 seconds, at floor 100. In 2 seconds, he's at floor 100. Haba l'tayr misayin lo. He had his eyes on the prize the whole time. He was waiting. I know if the king told me that this is what I'm supposed to do, for sure there's a way that I could do it. So we're both saying, Mirtz Hashem, the bracha is that, of course, lo olam yasal kadam b'torah mitzvahs mishalo lishma. Of course we need shalo lishma. Of course we need to have incentives. Of course we need to have concept. Of course we need all those things. But those things are meant to motivate us that we should do the MS, mishu MS, that we should be ani li. We should be ani li, that I can motivate and inspire myself because I know that this is right and good. And then you have your zolcha to siyata dishmaya all the way up to the 100th level.